You are listening to the weekly sermon podcast of Broad River Church. Let's get ready to listen to God's word.
Guys, how are we doing, people of God? What's going on? What's going on, guys? So as Pastor Mike just said, my name is Olivier. I've been going to Broad River Church for the past year and a half. I serve on the production team, and I also help lead young adults here. And it's honestly just a pleasure and an honor to be here. And I give God thanks, as well as Pastor Kevin, for this opportunity to preach today. Okay, so let's start. So oftentimes when we read scripture, the Bible, we have the tendency to insert and make ourselves the main character of whatever story we find ourselves reading in, right? So like, I'm David and Goliath is all my problems. But if we want to truly read scripture the way that it's supposed to be read, you know, it should point us back to Jesus and the good news and not back to ourselves, right? So Jesus says in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 39, that the scriptures testify about him, right? This includes both the New and Old Testament. So everything, it all leads back to him. So I'm currently in the process right now of going through the Old Testament, right? And just 2 weeks ago, I found myself in the book of Ruth, right? It's a very short book, only had 4 chapters, right? And it was my second time ever reading it. But through the help of the Holy Spirit and the devotional on the Bible app, you know, I was able to find some gospel connections that I had never even thought about before. When you look closely, the character of Ruth is actually a foreshadowing of the character of Jesus Christ. All right, so I'm just going to briefly give a quick summary of the book of Ruth, right? So essentially what happens is there's this great famine in the land of Judah, right? So a man named Elimelech migrates with his wife Naomi and their 2 sons to the pagan land of Moab. To give some context, the people of Moab were actually Israel's enemies. So imagine being in such a desperate situation, right, in your country that you have to migrate to another country that has conflict with yours, right? So things were pretty bad. So soon after they get to the land of Moab, Elimelech, he dies. So Naomi essentially has no husband. Her 2 sons, they each go marry the woman in the land of Moab, the Moabite woman, one of them being the character of today, Ruth, and the other one being Orpah. But unfortunately for these 2 women, Naomi's 2 sons will also die, and they'll leave the woman that they married without children. So Ruth and Orpah, they both don't have any children, right? And they both lost their husbands. So essentially what happens is Naomi catches wind of how the famine in her homeland of Judah is over, and she makes her way back home, but she tells her daughters-in-law to stay in the country of Moab to, you know, find husbands and hopefully they can have children, right? However, Ruth decides to insist on staying with her mother-in-law, despite it being more of an advantage of her to stay in her own country. And this leads us to the main passage of today, which is Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, where it says, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us.' When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more." Amen. So Ruth, she basically decides to leave the comforts and the security of her homeland, where she could have easily remarried and had a child, to be a faithful friend to her mother-in-law. I actually Googled the meaning of Ruth's name, and the meaning of her name is friend or compassionate friend, right? Life would have probably been better if she had just stayed in her homeland, but instead she decided to work in the land of Judah, gathering stalks of grain that others had left behind for Naomi, right, to provide income for Naomi. So she was most likely at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder, right? So Oliver, how do we find Jesus in this, right? So in the gospel, we see Jesus abandoning the glory and the comfort of his throne to dwell among us. The word becomes flesh. So, like Ruth, he subjected himself to hardship to be a friend to others, specifically sinners. Jesus is the better Ruth in the sense that not only did he suffer for and with us, but he also died for us. He gave his life up as an offering for us, despite the wrong we've done against him. Romans 5 verse 8 reads, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." Jesus is the friend that sticks closer than a brother because his friendship isn't contingent on what we have to offer him, but it's contingent on his love and compassion for us, which is always faithful. Ruth points us to Christ, but she also serves as an example for us who are his followers. As mentioned, Ruth decides to abandon her place of birth and upbringing to follow and serve her mother-in-law. As many of us know, particularly those who come from immigrant families, you know, leaving one's place of origin, leaving one's homeland, isn't simply moving from A to B. And, like, you know, life just continues to move on, right? Ruth leaving the land of Moab was her leaving behind her culture, her religion, her traditions, her family and friends, the way she was accustomed to living to adopt Naomi's cultures and traditions and values. She was essentially abandoning everything she was familiar with and found her identity in to follow Naomi. This sounds familiar to a passage in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus says, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it, but if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." Amen. To follow Christ is to leave behind our familiar way of life in accordance to our sinful nature and selfish desires to serve him. Where he calls us to, that's where we'll go, and his agendas and desires become our priority, even if it means leaving behind the people, places, and things that we were accustomed to. Christ moves us from a place of sin and shame to a place of grace and glory, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We no longer identify with the people, places, and things of our past because he has made us into new people with new identities. We go from being sinners to saints. All right. So despite the hardship and challenges that Ruth and Naomi faced, ultimately, Ruth was able to meet a man to marry and continue her and Naomi's family lineage. She would become part of the lineage that led up to King David and later down to Jesus Christ himself. Because of her willingness to step out in faith and abandon her homeland and follow her mother-in-law, even though it probably wasn't in her best interest, she was able to become part of the genealogy of the Messiah, right? A woman who was part of a tribe that was enemies with the people of God was able to be grafted into the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the same token, when we follow Christ, we can expect to suffer for him and face hardship, right? Jesus says a servant isn't greater than his master. However, we know that our hardship and suffering doesn't end in disappointment and defeat, right? So Christ suffered a brutal death for us. He suffered a brutal crucifixion for us. But on the third day, he was raised in power and glory, and he now lives forever and ever, seated at the right hand of the Father, with the name above every other name, interceding on our behalf. In the same way, we can have assurance that the problems, trials, and tribulations we go through on this side of eternity aren't permanent, and they can't be compared to the glory to be revealed in us later at his return. Father God, I just want to say thank you so much for the opportunity to get to preach your word, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for using this sermon not just to edify the people of God, but also me, Lord. And we just want to say thank you, Lord, that you are the friend that sticks closer than a brother. You abandoned your glory. You abandoned your homeland to come and meet us where we are at, Lord. And to not just suffer with and for us like Ruth did, but you also laid down your life and died for us, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we would also lay down our lives for you, that we would follow you, Lord, even if it means suffering hardship, because we know, Lord, that There's a good end to our story, Lord, even if it doesn't seem like it in the present moment. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, let's give God some praise. Look at that. Good word, man. Thank you, Olivier. That was awesome. Man, I just want to say real quick, so I've been meeting with Olivier for about the last 18 months, and I have seen God just radically, like, just transform his life. And I'm so grateful to God for what he's doing in this generation. And let me tell you, the future is looking real bright for the kingdom of God, all right? This next speaker I want to invite up to the stage has been a daughter of this house for many, many, many years. You all know her. She has faithfully worshiped God and been on this stage worshiping. She has served in kids. She served in students. And she has just been on fire for Jesus for many, many years. And I believe that she has a word from God today for our church. Why don't you just help me welcome Abby Garcia to the stage.
Broad River Church. How is everyone doing this morning? I want to jump right into the scripture. I want you guys to open your Bibles to the book of Psalm, chapter 84. If you're using the blue Bibles we provided, it is on page 493. We'll be reading verses 1 through 5 and skip then to 10 through 12. If I haven't met you already, like Mike said, my name is Abby. I serve on the kids team and worship team here. And I just want to also thank Pastor Kevin for this opportunity. It is a huge honor for me to be speaking to you all today. And I honestly think nothing is more honorable than speaking God's word and sharing the word of God. Amen. So let's look at Psalm chapter 84, verses 1 through 5. How lovely your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My song longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy for the living God. Even the sparrow finds home and swallows a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts. My King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise, Selah. Blessed are those whose strength is in you and whose heart art in the highways of Zion. Then we skip down to verse 10 and it says, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord my God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold for those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. It's a lot. Let's pray together. Dear God, we come in your presence in the name of Jesus. I ask you to give me the wisdom, grace, and intelligence to teach your word. Let the words I say be yours and touch every heart here. I pray that you speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So church, if you've been attending our services, you know our theme this year is presence. Of course, we're talking about God's presence in the place. And Pastor Kevin has talked a couple of times on this topic in May and July holiday weekends. And I encourage you, if you haven't, to check it out on our website, YouTube, or wherever you can listen to podcasts. We talked about why God wants us to be in his presence and how we can do that. But I want to talk to you today about why we should seek God's presence kind of from our perspective. Like, what do we gain from seeking God's presence first? And I know this might sound a little selfish, but bear with me, church, because I know someone here is wanting to hear why God wants them to seek them first and what they can gain from being a true follower of Christ. Amen? In order to seek God's presence first, we need to invite his presence. How can we do that? John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And what this passage is saying is just opening the Bible and reading a verse is the act of inviting God's presence to us. When we have the foundation of knowing and turning to the Word of God, it can help us in our times of need. It's not like a magic eight ball where you like shake it and then it answers a question for you. Nor is God like a genie we go to when we want him to fix our problems. No. The Bible just helps us seek God's presence. But why should we do that? I'm sure someone's asking here saying, why should we seek the Lord's presence? What difference will it make if I do? The truth is, there are many reasons why you should seek the Lord's presence. But I'm going to give you five reasons today and state in Scripture of why we should seek the Lord's presence. The first reason why we should seek God's presence first is because he brings you joy. Going back to Psalm 84, verses 1 through 2, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My song longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. In another psalm, it says in chapter 16, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Church, hear me when I say this. True lasting joy is found in the presence of God. It comes from an interactive relationship with God. The second reason why you should always seek the Lord's presence first is because he gives you peace. Verse 3 of Psalm 84, even the sparrow finds home and swallows a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Here, the author of the psalm is saying that just like these kinds of birds, swallows and sparrows, they have nests, homes where they live and they raise their young. So our spirits are created in such a way that the only way we feel at home is in God's presence. And what can we find in a place where we call home? Peace. You see, church, because God's presence is our truest home. The third reason why you should always seek God's presence first is that he gives you rest. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says in chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the New International Version, it states, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus is opening his arms, and he's saying, come to me, cast your burden on me, because I will give you rest. This truth is, God designed rest, and he lives by this principle. We see this all the way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 2. It says, on the seventh day, God finished his work and that he had done, and he had rested on the seventh day from all his work and he had done. I could just imagine God, like, on his big throne with his lemonade, and just, like, after all, like, he created the land, the day and night, and the seas, all the animals, humans, he just, like, sit back on his throne with the lemonade, just like, I like how it I did. I like what I did. Yeah. When you seek God's presence first, he will bring you joy, he will bring you peace, he will give you rest. And the fourth reason why we should seek God's presence first is because he will satisfy all your needs and desires. Again, that's good. Psalm 84, verse 10, it says, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. The psalmist here knows that if we look with God to faith, then he will then favor upon the anointed, which is us. If we look back a few verses, verses 4 through 5, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise, Selah. Blessed are those whose strength is in you and whose heart are highways to Zion. Did you know the Lord knows your hearts and needs and desires? He not only knows your hearts and desires, your heart's needs and desires, but he knows that he can satisfy them. And not only that, he can exceed them. And we see this in the book of Job. I don't have enough time to go over the story of Job, but go read it. It's a really good story. But from Job's story, we learn that if we lose something from our lives, God has something greater planned. He often replaces what we lost with something better. The Psalm of 84 confirms all this. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blesses the one who trusts in you. Finally, when you seek God's presence first, it will bring you joy, it will bring you peace, it will give you rest, it will satisfy your desires, and finally, God's presence will give you purpose. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. See, this verse is very well known to me. I heard it countless times growing up in church, but this last January, and during 21 Days of Prayer, I really wanted to lead into God's presence and just fully, fully surrender to him. And I'm going to read a prayer entry from my prayer journal back in 21 Days of Prayer. A few sentences here. It says, "Dear God, right now I feel like I should pray for my discernment. I pray I learn how to choose what my desire and what is your calling to a certain purpose. Godfather, if this truly is you, the plan, and reveal the plan and resource to me." So I was really had an idea of what God's plan was for me and what his purpose was, but I wasn't entirely sure. And then after writing in my prayer journal, I just had this overwhelming desire to open my Bible. And as soon as I open my Bible, the first verse I read is Philippians 2:13. I just knew God was speaking to me in that moment, confirming what I thought I knew. After that moment, I would still continue to pray for discernment and doubt God's plan for me. But in that moment, it felt like the first time it was confirmation. This fall, I'll be attending Southeastern University in Florida to not only continue my education degree, but also to major in worship ministry. That door would have not opened if it wasn't for God opening that door for me. So church, if there's anything I want to leave with you today, is that seeking God's presence first is not easy, but it's so, so worth it. Because of God, I have an overwhelming peace that is beyond understanding. God promises us that if we seek him first, it will bring you joy. It will give you peace. It will bring you rest. It will satisfy your heart's desires, and it will give you purpose. And if you need a little extra help seeking what your purpose is, we have resources here at Broad River, like our membership class, welcome party, and pastors who will pray with you and for you. Church, don't do life alone, and let's seek God together. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for every person in this room. I thank you for your words. I thank you for your presence. We thank you in this moment for your goodness and kindness to us, because we know that without you, we don't know real joy, real peace, real rest, or real satisfaction. I thank you for whatever purpose you have for each one of us. I pray that you lead us every day of our lives closer and closer to you. We thank you for today. Let your will be done in all our lives, Jesus. We worship you today. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you connected with this sermon, share it with a friend. You can find us on all social media platforms and YouTube, or visit us on Sunday in person at 2 locations in Norwalk and 3 service times. Have a great week.